Geekpreneurs, it's Ami from geekswhogetpaid.com. This week, I'm joined by Sean Velasquez, who's the content manager for All Ages of Geek. And if you're not familiar, they're a multi-creator, multimedia platform that covers all aspects, all ages of geekdom. So tabletop, video games, anime and manga, the list goes on. Sean has some amazing knowledge, both from how to set up and run a multi-creator network like they're doing, as well as some just basics about money, business, networking, and so much more. So there is a lot jam-packed into this interview. I can't wait to share it with you. Let's get started. All right. Hello, Sean.
Hi.
How's it going today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Amy?
Oh, I'm doing so well. I am excited to talk about All Ages of Geek.
I am excited and nervous to talk about All Ages of Geek.
You're going to be fine. Well, the first thing I actually have to ask you is, hopefully an easy one. I would love to know a little bit more about you first, like where you are, what kind of hobbies and interests you have outside of All Ages of Geek. Like, who is Sean?
That is a question I've always wanted to answer and nobody has asked. So who is Sean? Sean is an explorer. Sean is someone who enjoys expressing himself. And Sean is just a huge geek. And what I like to do is whenever I'm not working on All Ages of Geek and doing stuff, which I actually genuinely enjoy doing, I paint, you know, miniatures and minis and models, and I like to draw, and I like to practice martial arts and sports combat and things like that. I really enjoy, you know, and as silly as it sounds, I enjoy learning new things. You know, like when you sit there and you go to school, you know, it's not fun, but when you're kind of out and about and exploring the world and you're learning new things from new people, I really enjoy doing that. That's when learning's fun for me. So as someone who is Sean, I'm very adventurous. I see opportunity in everything, and I try and see the learning moments in every experience I have. And I enjoy doing the Warhammer hobby. I enjoy trying to push myself with certain things. I enjoy illustration, drawings, playing video games, of course. I do enjoy my games very much whenever I'm able to do that. And just anything that involves self-expression in a way where I can express myself, I really enjoy doing. You know, I enjoy cooking. I enjoy singing badly. I enjoy dancing badly. I enjoy painting models that I assume are going to come out badly. drawing, whatever, anything that expresses some form of self-expression, and martial arts as well. All these things that give out self-expression that I can do that kind of keeps me from the distraction of everything else I'm doing. That's what I love doing.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it. I feel like we're kindred spirits in that way. Like, just learn and express. And if you're bad at it, who cares? So you're still doing it.
There's a learning moment in everything, in every experience. And if you could find it, you know, you're on your way. You're cooking with gasoline.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So Sean is a part of the All Ages of Geek team. So tell me a little bit more. Well, let's talk about what All Ages of Geek is, first of all, if anyone listening is not familiar, and also what your role is on the team.
All Ages of Geek is an LLC multimedia company where we focus on different forms of content. For example, we have the YouTube videos, we have the blogs, we have the articles, well, not really blogs, but we have the articles. We have, of course, the podcasts with different shows like Dice Session, all that. You know, we even have our community center at Discord, which people get access to via the Patreon. So we cover geek culture with everything under the sun. And the thing about All Ages of Geek is a lot of people think that it's All Ages of Geek is geeks of all ages, which it's not just that. It's actually all the ages of geekdom from the 60s, 70s, 80s into now. in covering all aspects of geek culture. So that's what Ologies Geek is. It's just an LLC that focuses on all aspects of geek culture in various forms of media. You know, we cover anime, we cover gaming, we cover D&D, Warhammer, of course. And there's many fandoms that we kind of want to dip our toe into.
That's amazing.
With a strong emphasis on interactivity.
I did read that. So what does that mean to you guys, the interactivity part?
One of the things we like doing is, one, is when we work with smaller creators, we like to give them that shout out, you know, to help support them. Like, hey, look at these people who are working on the dream, just like we were, who they were where we were. And, you know, now we kind of can work with them and help them find their own way and their own means. And we like to interact with our audience. We like to interact with our viewers. You know, I know for All Ages of Warhammer, I actually have a segment which will be announced in the video in June, but honestly, it's a good place to say it here anyways. We actually going to have a segment called Mini of the Week. And how that works is at the end of each Warhammer video, I actually going to pull up a mini that was submitted to me and show it off at the end of the video in front of all the viewers. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a way. And one of the things, you know how the Warhammer hobby is, when you finish painting your mini, you post it up online and you're like, check out my hard work. And everyone kind of swarms around and talks about it. And that's something I wanted to bring to All Ages of Geek. And another thing is through our Discord and our community there, we're very, very active there. We're very, very active and interactive with our community there at Discord. You know, so whenever people do actually sign up for that Patreon and get particular tiers on that, what they do get is access to that group, to that little community. And we're looking for more ways to be more interactive with our audience in our community.
That's awesome. So it's, you know, you go to the website and you see all this content, all these videos, the podcasts you can listen to, but it's more than just consuming content. You can meet people through the content and you can be exposed to new creators and things like that. Do I have that right?
You do. You do indeed have that right. Because we do want to open up these avenues towards people. And, you know, we all come together in that singular place, like I mentioned, on the Discord community. And that's kind of where we all meet and gather and have fun. But as far as the website, it really exposes you to different forms of media, different genres and different people. You know, we work with a lot of people who join our writing team and want to add something to their resume for college. And I know that this myself, I recently graduated an IT course, which I need to go over the info because I was more focused on just keeping up with the work rather than absorbing it. But now that it's finished and I'm, you know, trying to apply and have an application for IT jobs and things like that, I know that it would serve me, that this would serve me because it's something that I can apply on my resume, you know, which is amazing. So it's doing this and working on these projects and working with All Ages of Geek, whether you're a writer or a content creator or anything in between, there's a lot of benefit there for sure. So we bring people together and we push people and we transform people. And it comes mostly because even though we always can open the door, you know, it's always up to the person to walk through. And, you know, people show you when put under that and given that, people show you who they really are for better or for worse. And it's a pretty amazing experience.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So say, you know, someone listening is a content creator and they're interested in branching out and becoming part of the All Ages of Geek family. How does a content creator, no matter what format, get involved with the site?
Well, first, they actually have to contact us and All Ages of Geek HR, and they also come to me since I also work with the networking and All Ages of Geek, because for some reason, people are under the impression that I'm good with people or something. I don't know. But they would also come to me and I would have my evaluation. I give my evaluation to those on the higher part of the core team. And we would work with them. And if we like their content, if we like what they put out, and if it's friendly towards the brand, then it's something that we can totally do that. Because we do want to bring in more hosts. We want to bring in more creators, you know, but we need to be careful to make sure that when we bring someone in, this is someone who can create content on a consistent basis. You know, it's like, it's easy to be on fire and create like 4 or 5 videos and them do really well, and then life kind of kicks you in the ass, which it does, and it will. And, you know, you kind of fall off, and then you're no longer consistent, and then things don't work out and problems happen. And, you know, as anyone who's trying to lead a business like this and trying to lead a company like this to create content, and there's a strong degree of collaborating with other people. And when you collaborate with other people, there is a large room for human error. You know, not everyone can make the commitment. Not everyone can do that. And with anyone starting a business, there's a lot of people, you know, a lot of people starting a company like this. There's a lot of people who end up giving you false promises. So whenever someone comes in, they can contact HR, tell them what they're about, what show they have, you know, and they go through an evaluation process. And if they're good to go and we approve them, then, you know, we'll start them out slow. And as they get better and as they continue to show that work ethic and that they're committed to making content, bam, we'd be happy to have them.
That's cool.
Absolutely.
So it sounds like it's not just when you become a creator for Ologies Geek, you're part of the team. It's not just a one and done kind of thing.
Yeah. Everyone has their own bit of team. Like the content creators, you know, those who are making their own shows, they all have that group that I focus on. I would engage in weekly meetings to make sure to ask them what goals they set, because some creators aren't able to work as quickly as others because people have different work ethics and time and this like that. And what I like to do is I like to check in and see, and I'd like to encourage them to create their own goals, you know, because it's one thing for me to say, hey, here's our quota for the week. And then now there's stress and pressure and all that bullshit. And then there's, hey, what are our goals for this week? What can we do? What can we knock out? And it excites them and excites me. And yeah, it creates that flow. It's like, you're a part of this now, you know, yeah, you're part of something pretty awesome. And it's encouraging whenever I say, and you know what, you can set this ridiculous goal. It's like, we're going to knock out like three episodes and edit three episodes in 1 week. It's like, damn, that's ambitious. But the thing is that it doesn't matter if you meet that goal. The fact that you shoot towards it, you will make a phenomenal amount of progress by the end of that week, you know? So yeah, when people come in, they become part of the team, you know, they become part of the culture. And even though unfortunately there are times where we won't be able to meet with everyone on the ground floor, like some of the writers or some of those smaller creators, I know those who work on big projects. And of course, as I said, time and time again, the Discord, that's where we all kind of come together and hang out. You know, we there's like the professional part of it where we kind of keep going and hit the ground running and, you know, let's bam, bam, bam. And then there's the Discord community where we kind of just lie back and chill out and have fun and talk geek and just be geeks, like sitting around a campfire or something. And that's what's great about that. You know, there is that camaraderie. There is that. And we like to keep communication clear. We like to keep it clear because we don't want to sugarcoat you. We don't want to tell you something that's not true. And we want to be very transparent and straight up with you about certain things, because it can only hurt you if we're not, you know. And I think that's something that a lot of us, a lot of people respect, is that, you know, we respect you enough to be straight up with you about certain things. But yeah, when you join All Ages Geek, you definitely become part of the team, and it's a very, very welcoming team indeed.
Okay. So, you know, talking about it so far, All Ages of Geek is, you know, while it's a website and a content network, you immediately off the bat described it as an LLC from a business standpoint. Mm-hmm. I did some digging into, there's like a wiki, and saw that originally All Ages of Geek started as a Let's Play channel, which everyone mm-hmm. knows what that means.
Yeah.
And then grew into what it is today. Mm-hmm. So what kind of inspired the move from that, just a Let's Play channel, to yeah. everything that All Ages of Geek is now?
So All Ages of Geek actually started out as a book review channel where Kacha would review books for Kidlit TV. And then it evolved into reviewing manga. And from then it kind of took off with Let's Plays. But after some time, we wanted to rebrand it to where there's more than one host and there's more than one form of content. So it's not just, even though Let's Plays and gameplay videos are still there, it's not just that anymore. You know, it's now into hobby videos. It's now into D&D. It's now into podcasts. It's now into other shows and other hosts. You know, I'm one of the new hosts coming in. And, you know, that's part of the thing that All Ages of Geek is all ages of geek. It's not all ages of cat. You know, that's not what it is. It's not the cat channel. It's All Ages of Geek, where we have multiple creators, multiple shows, multiple hosts, and we cover all things geek culture. You know, there'll be a host who wants to talk about Star Wars. There'll be a host who wants to talk about Warhammer. There'll be a host who wants to make videos on D&D, you know, and if someone wants to just be a Let's Player, but they want to be like that house, they can do that. You know, but the rebranding definitely was to make it more inclusive, more interactive, and more than just a simple Let's Play channel.
I love it. So the growth was intentional, but it made sense. It was a little bit organic. It kind of grew mm-hmm. into what it needed to be, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Good to hear. Okay. So we talked a little bit about the interactivity and the inclusivity. You mentioned the Discord. So I would love to hear a little bit about what the All Ages of Geek community is like, especially because, you know, I've seen a lot of niche community. You find the Warhammer community, you find the D&D community, but never anything that covers like all geek all at once.
Oh, so yeah.
What does that look like?
Chaotic and fun. It's amazing. It's like a second family. I will say this. The community has healed me in ways that real life could not do. Straight up. Think about it. Like, in the real world, you don't know who's into what you're into. And it's very rare to find people who are into what you're into. And that's a very small circle. But whenever you're on all the Discord, you're surrounded by people who are just like you. You know, people who grew up who weren't the most popular, people who watched anime, people who did play games. You know, I got introduced to Kamen Rider through the guys in the Discord. And it's like so amazing and silly and over the top. And I love it. You know, and I'm introducing them to Warhammer 40K. And I love it when I would see them catch on and start throwing orc memes at me. It's just the best thing. And, you know, prior to joining the Discord, I struggled a lot with my anger and my emotions because I always seemed to find myself in a very toxic environment that I couldn't escape. And it creates, and the mind will shift and bend to adapt and to deal with that stress or whatever trauma comes up. And I was a very confrontational, defensive, and angry person. So, and I was going through a lot. Me and my girlfriend at the time were breaking up. I was having to move out and live with my mother for a bit at that time, even though I now have moved back in. But, you know, I wanted her and me to have that space. And I also got released from my job. I lost my job. I was working at HEB warehouse. I lost my partner and I lost my place to live. And, you know, I was dealing with all of that. My cat is making noise. A lot of BS was happening. And, you know, and even though I didn't have a job and I didn't really have much else, I was like, okay, so what, to hang out with Kat and everyone else at the Discord is like, what, $10 a month, whatever. Okay, what else do I got to lose? And I never really would have imagined, and it's not even selling the thing or any of that BS right now. The thing is that I would have never imagined like making that financial decision, because you spend your money on the stupidest stuff, the stupidest subscriptions every month. And then I said, screw it. And I decided to pay $10. And then I found myself surrounded by these people who made me feel so comfortable and welcomed and kind. And I enjoyed every second that I got to hang out with them. And to make it even better is we would meet up twice a week to hang out. And we would be on a chat room and we would watch shows together and play games and do all of that. And I got to know these people. And these people have become my closest friends and confidants. You know, and from hanging out with them and spending time with them, my aggro, which was such a prevalent part of my personality, started to dissipate, you know, and I became more patient. I became more relaxed. I became more happy. And it's just, I did so much more emotional healing in the 2 years that I've been there than I really have my entire life.
Yeah.
because I was in such a toxic situation everywhere I went, whether I was, living with my father or whether I was working a shitty job. And no matter where or whether I was just being mistreated by whoever, whatever, in whatever situation, because I know school wasn't all that much better. But it just took all of that away, and the weight fell off, and the stress fell off, and the anger fell off. And for the first time in my life, in a very long time, I wasn't angry anymore, you know? And what did it take? Some whatever, what the hell decision, to throw in 10 bucks. I thought I'd only be there for like a month, but whatever. And then I get to know these people who are just like me. And then I get to relate to these people who are just like me, who are struggling with the same issues just like me, and who have the same dreams and goals just like me. And I feel welcomed, and I feel like I belong. And I've never had that, ever, ever, ever. And that's what's so powerful about this community. And this community stays this way because of that policy of inclusivity and interactivity. And we just want people to have a safe space, and everyone has their issues, and we're not therapists, and we always have our hotlines and links to send to professional help. But like, there is a support system there. And I do feel like these people have become very much like family to me and very close friends. Absolutely. It's a very special place. It's a very funny place. It's a very happy place, and whenever we hang out on Community Day on today, on Wednesday, and when we have Patreon Day on tomorrow, on Thursday, which is 5 hours, by the way, we hang out with each other for 5 hours straight. And we would play video games. Like, we've played Among Us, we've played Garry's Mod, we've played Pictionary, we've played some really messed up rounds of what's it called? Cards Against Humanity. We would play games, and then we would watch shows, and we would watch anime, and we would just hang out and just have a fun time with that. And it's just these moments where everyone gets to talk to everyone, and we all have so much fun, And then when it's over, the week, those, what is it, 7 days in a week, you take out 2 days. So that's what, 5 days in a week? Those 5 days are longer than 7 days, I'm telling you. But by the time, because you're just waiting to get back to Wednesday so you can hang out with them again. It's an amazing experience. It's definitely, definitely worth it. Absolutely.
The definition of the power of community.
Yeah, the power of friendship in anime, it
And
heals
that
wounds.
geek community therapy.
Yeah, it's a lot cheaper than therapy. It really is. I'm like, this shit is cheaper than therapy. And all it takes is just hanging out with people who are just like you.
Wow. That's really powerful stuff.
I'm not trying to sell shit right now. Just like,
No,
that's just
that's
it is
real.
what it is. Like, that's how it is when I did that, And as I've said, if people want access to that Discord, they get it through the Patreon. They can sign up that way. It is worth it, I'm telling you.
So let's talk about that, the Patreon. So I know it's monthly, and I think you have, subscriptions from $1 all the way up to $100. So just can you give me like the little spiel on how that works?
We're actually in the middle of updating the Patreon and what you get for the tiers. But what I can say is that one of the things we are going to do is we so the $1 tiers, they get access to certain parts of the Discord, and then the $5 tier gets at more interactivity with certain chats in the Discord, and they get Community Day. And then you have the $10 tiers where I'm at, where they get access to the full Discord, and then they also get access to Community Day and Patreon Day. And then the tier up above that, you can start handpicking shows that are being watched by our hosts. And the tier above that, you have a much higher influence of what shows get to watch, get to be watched when there are specific shows for them. But as I said, that's kind of the TLDR with it now. But we are in the middle of changing everything up. So the answer is kind of a up in the air. Here's the gist of what we're doing, but we're in the middle of a transition period. So they will change over time. And of course, I also have plans to implement some perks for Warhammer fans out there who become a subs who subscribe to the Patreon for Warhammer content, And that's something that I'm also very excited for because I have a few ideas for what people who sign up for the Patreon get whenever when it comes to Warhammer content.
Ooh, I like that little sneak peek.
Oh yeah.
For anyone watching the video, I don't know if you noticed, but Sean is very into orcs.
I'm super into orcs. Sometimes it just gets away from me. And always too much like an orc. if you muck about and you don't watch where you're stepping, you don't mind yourselves, I was gonna end up speaking like this to all of you. Like, you know an orc player when you see one. Orc players don't care at all. They don't care because they're like the orcs themselves. And that's why I like orcs. It's why I love orcs. Yeah. Orcs don't have stress or angst. They're so happy. You know, all they want to do is fight. And I love fighting. I love martial arts.
Yeah.
They're green. My favorite color is green. And if you put enough of them together, they can manifest anything into happening. Like, they believe red ones go faster. So when you paint their car red, the car goes faster. When they ramshackle a bunch of BS together, it works effectively and proficiently, you know? And I just can get behind all of that, you know, being happy, doing what you love. I love to fight. I love the color green. And I also believe that you can manifest anything that you believe in.
That's
why I love orcs.
Orcs are the masters of manifestation. I never even thought about that.
Yep. It's there's a quote by an Eldar philosopher saying, for them, the great struggle is won. They have no stress or angst. And who are we to judge them? We Eldar who have fallen so far, and the humans on the road to ruin. And we see them as crude. We see a race that's strong, but we see them as crude. And it's because we ask ourselves questions that an orc wouldn't even bother to ask. An orc doesn't care. Imagine being happy. Imagine getting everything you want every day for the rest of your life. That's the level of happy that orcs have.
Yeah.
And I can get behind that.
Suddenly, like, orcs a whole lot more than I did before.
They really lift you up. You want to know what really got me, though? There was one aha moment. It was during high school. I was going through a really hard time in high school, and I was very, like, depressed, and I was very submissive and things like that. And Dawn of War 2 started coming out, and there was an orc trailer, and they're fighting against the Tyranids, who are some of the scariest, you know, is scariest Xenos in the universe, like the Great Devourer. There's no stopping them. But there's a line in there that has inspired me so much, and it says, "And if Daze takes the ground from under your feet, you takes it right back, because this is our war." And then you hear all the orcs going, "War!" And it empowered me beyond anything, because what's life going to do? Life is going to take everything from you if you let it. It will take everything from you, your living wages, your home, your happiness, and it try to do the same thing. And you know what an orc would do? It would take it right back.
That's right.
And it's just so inspiring to me. And whenever life comes at me or tries to come at me, good luck, and tries to take things from me, I'm going to take it right back. Because this is my war, not theirs. Right. It's my life. And that's what really started my love of orcs. You know, I always thought they were cool with Lord of the Rings. But it wasn't until, and I always thought they were cool to play like in Dawn of War when the first one came out. But I knew that it was really something special after that moment that really inspired me. And that was it. Never went back.
I'm about it. I'm about it. That's so much more than just like orcs are cool.
orcs.
Awesome. Okay. Sorry for the side quest. I just, had to talk about it.
Makes the adventure better.
So, okay. We were talking about Patreon.
It's so worth it. The Patreon is so worth it. Like, we can't stress it enough.
Yeah.
I mean, when people, one thing I will say is that when people do sign up for the Patreon, they get access to hundreds of hours of early content, that content that is not yet released publicly. Yeah. They can catch up some content. You can catch up months in advance. Some you get a couple weeks in advance, you know? So if you want to see the content that's currently being made in real time, then definitely sign up for the Patreon, because you can get all the early content. Publicly, so far, we're still going through Dragon Ball, But on Patreon, we're already on Dragon Ball Z. And
Okay.
yeah, we're on the Saiyan saga. So that's something, if you want to get to Dragon Ball Z and you want to get to that a lot quicker, you definitely need to sign up for the Patreon. Because not only do you get access to that community that has pretty much changed my life, you get access to all of our content in advance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then at the higher tiers, kind of influence over what that
And
next.
then you get to choose. Yeah,
Yeah.
as a
Okay.
higher tier, you get to choose what stuff comes in.
Good
So there's
job.
a lot of benefits there, and we're only going to be improving upon them as time goes on. It's only going to get better. We'll only sweeten the deal.
Yeah. Good lessons there for anyone who's trying to build value with their own Patreons as well.
Yeah.
That's challenging.
It is challenging. You know, what can you give? You know, what is the worth? What are you giving? You know, like when you make YouTube videos, you know, what are you giving the viewer? How are you respecting their time? And in this case, how are we respecting them both with time and financially? It's
Yeah.
definitely a struggle, and it's definitely something that needs commitment. And we are absolutely committed to making that investment worth it, you know, because you, if you pay, you like what we have. And when you, it means you like what we have and you want to see more of it. And we really dedicate ourselves to making that worth it,
Yeah.
you know, and it is worth it.
So with so much free content that's out there, and having to make, create that balance and build the value around what you offer for free and what is paid. How did you guys choose what to put behind that paywall? And because I know some, I ask because a lot of content creators, that you want to get your stuff out there. You want to like make sure that as many people see it as possible. So how do you balance the two?
Actually, YouTube itself had an influence on what we put back there or not, because we all know how YouTube is. We all know how YouTube operates. We all know that it works in a way to where that is just ice cold fact. YouTube operates in a way that is just not enough to keep up with. No one can really keep up with it. And those who really make it big had to continuously do something more and more in stream. And the more you push the envelope, the more dangerous it can get in so many different ways. So part of what influenced the decision to make these tiers and these rewards that are separate from YouTube was because there's no way we'd be able to support this company on YouTube, you know, and just off of YouTube alone. And even though it's a platform, that's why we have a strong push of wanting to work with the website that we recently updated and continuing to update. And as far as like the early stuff, because I know I'm now here and part of the core team working on the revamp of the Patreon and the shift. So I wasn't really there when they first decided to make the decisions to make these changes on Patreon, or the goodie bags that you get when you sign up for the Patreon, for a gross lack of a better word, or a better way to put it. But that was definitely something there before I really started becoming part of the core team. But YouTube was definitely an influence on why we decided to make it the way we were. So, you know, early access, and we did have an open server for a time, but it kind of like it, you know, sitting on fire. It was kind of a Hindenburg. But you know, we've grown so much that we're actually taking a second crack at it to make the Discord go public. And that's something we're very confident about. And what also helps is that it really does encourage people to see, you know, what they are missing out on, because they will have access to the Discord and they'll be able to see a lot of what's going on. They just won't really be able to have access to specific stuff, but there will be a public room there, which we are definitely looking forward to. So yeah, it's one of another decision was to have access to that close community, you know, and that was one of the things that really influenced it. And it really, and that's why people stay, because of that community. And that's why it's great, and because of the content that comes out. And as I said, as we look for more hosts, we're only going to get more. We're only going to get more content to put there on Patreon for everyone to see. And that's a big reason why we decided to make that the way it was, so to help us out where YouTube won't be able to.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So, you mentioned you talked about the host a little bit and mentioned a few other people at the company. So you as the content manager, right? There's a community manager, the founders. So most of the time I'm talking to someone who's like a one person show. They're creating their mm-hmm. stuff and they're monetizing their own way. But you know, you're having to work with a whole team building a company. How does that work?
The company structure. Okay. So 2021, All Ages Geek wanted to focus heavily on organization and clear communication. So why didn't the Discord work the first time? Why did Miscat Squad have a lot of issues? Why? There's a lack of communication. There's a lack of clear, honest communication and organization. You know, like people are doing things and going over cat's head and nobody knows what's going on and nobody wants to share anything. And then there's drama and there's unnecessary BS. And, you know, a business cannot thrive whenever everyone is not on the same page. So, you know, I know my personal policy on it is like, just be straight up with people. And you will, when you're straight up and you keep it 100 with people, you will learn quickly whether there's someone you can work with or not, you know? And if you give them the benefit of the doubt too much, if you give them too much leeway and you sugarcoat what you say, or, you know, you neglect to say anything in hopes of things will fall apart, then things will fall apart. And for me, it's like, I'm straight up with everyone I work with everyone I talk to, even with Tat and Cat. It's like, look, even if I give them advice on a certain thing, I'm not going to sit there and give them advice acting like I know more than them. Never, ever, ever. And I don't even do that when I do know more than someone on a certain subject. It's just not how I am, but I will be straight up and 100 and I'll keep it real, you know, for better or for worse. It's like, if you don't like what I got to say, that's not my problem. It's not. It's what I see. It's what I know that will benefit the company in a certain way, shape, or form. And if there's any disagreements like that, they will simply be made known without anyone getting upset or pissed or whatever. You know, and if someone chooses not to listen to feedback or chooses to not apply something a certain way, and it is simply a product simply because we're just being honest about what needs to happen, what needs to get done, then, you know, you're gonna figure out quick who needs to go and who needs to stay. You're going to figure out quick who's going to go and who's going to stay, you know? And that's one of the things that I try and heavily support, is like, we got to be honest with people about this. We got to be honest when we think that they need to work on something. We got to be honest about if we don't approve with something that happens, you know, we need to be honest if we're being rude to each other, this with each other, or whatever, whatever, whatever. And it's like, man, no, because that's when I kind of turn into a hard ass. It's when it comes to the business, because, you know, Cat and Tat have really invested so much into it. And for me, I can't afford to sugarcoat or take things easy or anything like that. And I always tell both of them, I go, you know what? You can tell me straight up, bam. I don't mind. If you need to give me a kick in the ass for something, then go ahead and do it. I'll never hold it against you. Never, ever. And that's how it needs to be. We got to speak clearly and with everyone and get everything organized. It's like, okay, so we need you to do X, Y, and Z. Tell us right now if you're able to do it. Straight up, don't be a yes man. Don't be a yes man or woman. Don't be someone who is taking on more than they can chew. You know, don't lie about what you can do and what you can't do and what you're willing to do and what you like or don't like. You know, it's like if someone is thinking, oh, you know, people will assume that you're a control freak if nobody says anything against you. But the second somebody says, hey, you know, I don't think that's a good idea. Maybe we should try this. And then they're like, yeah, okay, let's do that. All of a sudden that house of cards comes crashing down. Mm-hmm. You know, and we want to create a form of decentralized command where people can work independently and keep the machine running. If I'm not there, someone else can keep the machine running. If they're not there, someone else can keep the machine running. So part of what we do with clear communication is also educate our team members how to do certain tasks. Every time Tat and Cat asks me to take on a new task, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go. And sometimes I'm ready for them to either tell me how to get it done or just have them throw me out into the jungle and figure it out, because that does excite me. It's like, there are times where they can't really hold my hand all the time. They have to be like, you got to figure it out for yourself. And sometimes straight up, it's because they simply do not have the time to be able to do that. And that's something that a lot of people kind of forget. But I myself, when I realize that I'm on my own, it's very exciting, because here's the thing. If I do it and I take care of it, I can give it to them later and I'll still get the feedback. You know, so what's the big deal? Yeah. And that's why it's not really that big of an issue for me personally. But, you know, that's what creates that independence. And we want to create a network and a business that works within each other, you know, something something disconnects and then we can have it reconnect. Mm-hmm. And it keeps the business running. It keeps it flowing. A successful business, because if you have a business that cannot function without you, it's not a business, it's a glorified job. But when you have a business that can function and produce when you are not there, then you have successfully created a successful business where money and franchise works for you. Mm-hmm. And that's something we need to do. And it's hard to do with human error, but that's why clear communication, honest communication, and organization is very important. So now for the structure itself. You have me, who's the content manager, and I organize the other content creators. I meet up with them weekly. I have them set their goals and tell me their goals. And then whenever I meet up with them next Monday or next week, we go over where they are with those goals and how we can do to improve those goals and educate them on certain things and this and that. And not everyone is going to know that you have to take certain steps. Not everyone, a lot of people think that when it comes to creating content, it's either succeed or fail. And it's not true. Anything in life is not you either win or you lose. Anything in life is you lose and then you lose and then you lose again and then you lose again and you lose and lose and lose. And then, and only then, you succeed. And that's lessons that I want to pass off to content creators who come to All Ages of Geek. So I do that. I also, and we also have the writing team. We have people who we try and recruit from colleges who want to add to their resume. So we have the writing team who create articles. And then we have the mods who manage the Discord, and we're currently training them to be able to handle whenever we go public, because that's when they'll really need to step their A game up. There's of course Matt, who's the community manager on Discord, who mostly works on the modding and editing the Discord. So creating titles, rooms, policies, bots, things like that. Matt takes care of it. And then you have Frozen Yogurt, or who we like to call Froyo, who is our community organizer. I think there's another word for it, but yeah, he's the Discord organizer, scheduler, things like that, because he does such an excellent job of organizing events and organizing meetings. And he's very good with also assisting with computers tech as well. Because he's so organized and he's so excellent at what he does at organizing certain events and certain perks. Like, for example, he has a huge role to play in organizing what happens on the website and what happens with the Discord and how we go about and how the tiers can be separated. And he plays a huge role in that because he's very good at organizing things and cleaning things up. So he's definitely the community organizing manager. There's a word for it. I can't really come up with it right now, but essentially Froyo does all of the organization or is involved with all of the organization in All Ages of Geek, whether it comes to events or certain things happening that we're applying. And he's so good at it that I have this running gag where I'm trying to convince everyone that he's a robot. I'm like, Froyo's a robot. You guys need to listen to me. He's a robot. I'm trying to tell you. And after we're done with our meetings, it would just be him and me. And I'm like, I got my eye on you, Froyo. You might have everyone else fooled. You don't have me fooled. And then he does this thing that I love. He goes, beep, boop. He would make robot sounds. He'd be like, ah! And I would pretend to scream every time. And the entire Discord is in on it. It is just so funny. But it's just kind of my stupid, goofy way of telling him that he's really, really good at what he does. Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah. That's... And I know, you know, Kat herself, she's the head honcho. She runs the business side. She has her toe. She dips her toe in every single part. Like, she has her hand in every single part of the business. And that's why I have the position I have. So I'm kind of an extension of that, since now she can fully focus on the business side of things and creating, catching up on all the content. And Tat is very much the same way. She works with the writing team and she works with organizing the business side of things. And she's on that core team. And I'm essentially kind of a small extension of what they do. And I work the networking and yeah, I work the community manager. I also work the networking for All Ages of Geek. I also do some of the writing myself, editing, things like that. Essentially, if it's something that All Ages Geek does in some way, shape, or form, I'm going to educate myself on how to do it in some way, shape, or form, or in an efficient manner, because I want to train myself in a way to where if Cat and Tat are not there, I'd be able to keep the ship floating.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the organization of All Ages of Geek. And we'll continue to grow and grow and grow as we continue to get more and more talented individuals like we do.
Definitely. Awesome. Wow. And I love that so much of the team is focused on the community part. Mm-hmm. Like that says a lot, I think, about the company in general.
It's what gives us strength.
Yeah.
Doing it for each other.
Yeah. But a little bit selfish. In my day job, I'm a community manager also for a tech company. So community is just like my big old heart. Yep. Okay. So there's so much that we covered in like so many directions I could go with this, but there's usually a last question that I always ask, which is if someone is interested in doing what you do, what is your piece of advice? But I'm going to try and distill it down to just like one part, which I think the really cool thing that you guys pulled off is, instead of just focusing on one thing, you built this multimedia network, which is really impressive and very hard to do with, multiple creators. So if someone is interested in making that transition from just a one-man show to being a team and, branching into multimedia, what would be your one piece of advice on kind of like making that leap?
Ironically, that actually made the question easier to answer.
Oh, okay, good.
What I will say is this, is that you need to learn how to be a leader. You need to learn what it takes to be a leader, and you need to have that discipline of a leader, but that open mind as a leader. You need to be able to have that extreme ownership as yourself. I often, if anyone needs to know how to be a leader as fast as you can, I recommend Jocko Willink, who was a Navy SEAL and served in the Battle of Ramadi. And, he's very inspirational to me, and he's been a big influence on how to be a leader in these things. And, I hear decentralized command and all of that from him. So first and foremost, if you want to be a leader or excel in a leadership position, Jocko Willink. So bam, first, you have to be a leader. And two, you need to excel in networking. Networking, this goes into psychology. It goes into talking to people and managing people and this and that. And this, you can get that from learning about business. And if you want to learn how to network well and how to speak well when it comes to people, I recommend that you read two books. You read one, Robert Kiyosaki's Think and Grow Rich. Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And then you have Napoleon Hill, which is the big one, Think and Grow Rich. And then he also has one called Outwitting the Devil. So when you learn about that and you learn how to network and you learn how to be a leader towards people and manage people, you also can learn how to influence people and inspire people. But remember, these things only come when you give it, because you have the boss who sits there and tells you what to do, but then you have the leader who actually is there doing it with you, because you can have a group of people and everyone can sit there and figure out what's going on and nobody's doing anything. And all it takes is one person to just speak up and be like, hey, we're going to move this over here. Let's get off the truck and let's go right now. Let's move. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. So first, you need to be skilled at being a leader. You need to learn how to network, and you need to learn to have that. And that can come with its own things, like learning how to be charismatic, this and that. But yeah, be a leader. Learn to network really well. And also, you need to be strong. You do. You need to be strong because you're going to deal with people who will give you pushback. You're going to deal with your fan base giving you pushback. You are going to have to deal with the fact that you will have to now work with human error, because a lot of people would rather work by themselves because they don't want to have to deal with working with people or managing people and things like that. Hence why my first bits of advice were those two. So learn to be an efficient leader. Learn how to network, because a lot of success isn't about what you know, it's who you know. And who you know can get you further than what you know. Because if you know someone who knows more than you, you will know what they know. When you know what they know, you'll know what you need to know. You know?
Yep, I know. Surprisingly, I know exactly what you just said.
everyone with the nose knows your nose is nosiest. But yeah, and you have to be strong, because you will have to face these new challenges. And that is easily a word I can sum up Katja, who started all this, with, in a word, strong. And you need to be strong to deal with that. You need to be an efficient leader. You need to know how to talk to the people you work with and how to network to reach new people. So if you want to go from a one-man show to working in an LLC in a company, you need to have these rules there. You need to have a plan. You need to be organized. You need to be communicate very clearly. You need to understand who you are working with, and you need to be strong enough to lead by that example. That is the advice that I would give to anyone who wants to take from being a one-man show into being something else. Because I'll say this, you will be amazed with who you meet. And the thing is, though, is the best leaders recruit people who are better than them in many ways. Because when you learn, because I learned so much. And when you fill yourself in a room of people who are smarter than you, you level up. You know, you are a product of who you spend your time with. You are a product of the lessons you bring in every day. So if you're just going out and just, you know, partying and drinking and doing all that, that's all you're ever going to know. But then if you spend your time with people who are literally organizing meeting after meeting, talking finances, talking, you know, how to set up this plan. If you're working with people who are working from sunup to sundown and talking with people on the daily, you will become such. Yeah. So, and there is nothing a group of dedicated individuals, a small group of dedicated individuals can accomplish. And it's amazing what one person can do, but it is absolutely incredible and almost unbelievable what a group of like-minded individuals can accomplish when they all inspire each other and push themselves forward. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger said that I don't believe in a self-made man. You know, you get where you are with the help you receive along the way. And that's kind of what makes the journey beautiful too. You know, because when you run it alone and you get there on your own, you will need some help by someone at some point. You got to get your foot in the door somewhere by someone at some point. It's inevitable. So why fight it? You know, learn. And there is beauty in that, because it's not just, and what's amazing about traveling the world is it's not just seeing the world, it's seeing the people, you know, the cultures. And it's amazing. And when you organize and you meet a small group of talented individuals, you will learn so much and it will change your life. And you guys will do amazing things together. But you got to start with yourself.
Yeah. Wow. Powerful advice. Really solid advice. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to wrap up with the fun one. They're all fun.
They are all
fun. But what is new and exciting in the future for All Ages of Geek? And also, is there anything that you want to plug before we wrap up?
Yes, absolutely. All Ages of Geek is doing a lot of amazing things. We are expanding our website. We are creating new shows, new hosts, and we are also opening up our community, and it will go public soon. And there, for all you Warhammer fans, All Ages of Warhammer will lead a great crusade of Warhammer content, like the Emperor and the Great Crusade before him. And you guys, if you're Warhammer fans, you can absolutely look forward to that. D&D fans, you can absolutely look forward to Dice Sesh. You know, Lava and Felix have now started hitting the ground running, and they are throwing gasoline on their show, man. Like they are cooking with grease now, and they're just on fire. And as far as future content, you know, what's in store for the future of All Ages of Geek is big, and it's exciting. It's amazing. And there are some things that I cannot disclose that I'm very excited about. But when it happens, the world is going to know about it. Absolutely, the world is going to know about it. And if I were to plug anything, I cannot stress enough so many times, and I took every chance I get because it's serious and it matters, is the Patreon. The Patreon is an amazing place. It's an amazing deal. You get amazing content, and we're only going to get more content. You get access to an amazing community of like-minded individuals. And if there's anything I could plug in, it is the All Ages of Geek Patreon. Sign up and get to know all of us, because I'm only one person in a group of amazing people.
Yeah. Awesome. So I'll link all of that in the description for whichever channel you're consuming this on, so you can check it out for yourself. But Sean, thank you so much. That was incredibly powerful and full of so much gold. So thank you for sharing
thank
all of
you,
that
Amy.
Knowledge with us for the last hour.
This is my first interview. How'd I do? Or rather,
interview. You were perfect. A natural.
We just didn't talk about orcs enough. We need to talk about orcs.
That's
enough.
True. That's the feedback for me, right? More orcs.
More orcs.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank
and,
you.
I look forward to keeping up with all the exciting things happening at All Ages of Geek.
Absolutely. See you all there when it happens. And as always, make sure you embrace your inner fanboy, your inner fangirl, and your inner fan person every single day.
Wow. So I hope you had as much fun with that interview as I did. I know I learned a lot about just the behind the scenes and what it takes to run your passion as a business with a team. And also loved the advice at the end about focusing on leadership and networking, in addition to your craft and everything that you're good at and your fandoms and your passions. So let me know what you thought about this interview in the comments. I would love to hear. If you liked this one and you want more where it came from, you can join us on the blog at geekswhogetpaid.com. Like or subscribe to this channel or podcast wherever you found us. And if you feel so inclined to further support Geeks Who Get Paid, we also just launched our Patreon, which you can find in the links below. Your support goes a really long way in helping us continue to build and release new content and keep this train rolling. So thank you in advance for considering it or checking it out. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another interview, but there's content weekly on the blog, so I hope to see you over there. Thanks for joining. See you next time.